Good morning, everybody.
Hey.
Morning.
Good morning.
Another slow morning, I take it.
We haven't had a customer in 3 days, Dave.
Really? No. Sounds like maybe somebody's due for some PTO.
Really? Wait, what's the catch?
No catch at all. Just some recognition for a job well done and, well, an apology.
An apology?
For what?
Well, I've been thinking a lot about that last Friday the 13th episode we did back in October.
Oh, you mean the one where you said we were going to be going to virtual New York City, but it ended up being Vancouver?
Yeah, that one. Look, I know it wasn't the most glamorous getaway, and Friday the 13th movie we did wasn't one of the better ones.
What do you mean? A movie and a virtual vacation to Vancouver? That sounds like fun.
Oh, shut up, Ryan. You weren't there.
Yeah, you didn't suffer through an hour plus of Jason on a slow boat to the Great White North.
Yeah. In any event, I feel guilty about the whole thing, and I wanted to make it up to you guys. Here.
What's this?
Just read it.
A virtual getaway to New York?
That's right! I went down to the travel agency in Citadel, and I got a deluxe New York pack for our simulator. And I'm not just talking regular New York. I'm talking old-fashioned, grimy, sleazy, pre-Giuliani 80s New York.
Oh, sweet!
Awesome!
I knew you guys would be excited. Hopefully this will make up for that bad Friday the 13th experience. Anyway, where should we go first? Broadway? Madison Square Garden? Catch the Knicks?
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Ooh, we could watch the original run of Cats.
Wait. Dave, did you read this whole thing?
Yeah, the travel agent told me it was the deluxe New York package. All the best sights.
Dave, this says Staten Island, New York.
What?
Oh, God.
You see, down at the bottom, in really small print.
Jesus, you aren't kidding. This is small print. Thank you again for your purchase of the Deluxe New York Virtual Experience Pack. Explore all the sights and sounds of wondrous Staten Island, New York. Oh, God. Wait a minute. Hold on. Staten Island isn't far from New York City, right? Well, we'll just get on the ferry and go into the city that way. No problem.
Keep reading the fine print, Dave.
Please note, the Deluxe New York Virtual Experience Pack does not include ferry rides to Manhattan. Thanks again, your friendly virtual travel agent, The Foz. Waka waka. Damn it! I thought that guy looked shady!
You see, I knew this would happen! Every time!
I'm sorry, Mike. I don't know what to say. The guy hustled me. He was a very smooth talker. I didn't have my reading glasses on. He must have distracted me with his comedy bits and his funny hat.
Forget it, Dave. I'll just spend my PTO in Bartertown getting wasted off Livewire.
That sounds like fun.
Hey, mind if I tag along?
No, wait. Just hold on. Let me make it up to you. All right, let me think. What if we played a New York set movie in the simulator and turn on the panoramic setting, huh? Make it seem more encompassing? Chad, can you load up a movie in the simulator that's from the early 80s and is hopefully lighthearted, uplifting, and please God, a crowd pleaser?
Working.
I'm really sorry, guys. Let's just forget I spent your guys' Christmas bonuses in that crappy Staten Island virtual pack and just sit down, relax, and watch something that will take our minds off of the never-ending nightmare that we all live in.
Movie loaded. Beginning playback.
We're gonna be on Broadway!
In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, The destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
New York, Times Square, Broadway, all the lights, all the spectacle, all the excitement. Thousands come every day dreaming of one thing, to make it to the top. Out of these thousands, one has a very special dream, and he's got something unique, something ordinary people don't have. And together with his friends, he's gonna take this town by storm.
Taxi? Taxi?
Creep!
The Muppets Take Manhattan. Coming soon from TriStar.
I'm sorry, guys. I always cry at weddings. Get it together, Dave. Get it together. Okay. I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again by Ryan.
Here we are, together again.
Oh.
Ryan, I'm trying to not cry. You're going to make me cry even more. I'm, of course, joined by Jackie.
Kirby.
That's good.
And I don't know what he's doing. He appears to be like banging a dumpster with a metal rod. Mike, what's going on?
Ah!
That's New York.
Muppets. I was about to say Most Wanted. That's not right.
Muppets. Oh, hell yeah. The Muppets are here. I've killed before and they'll kill again.
I believe that the arrival of the Muppets did coincide with a sharp rise in crime in Manhattan that year, right?
Well, you know, correlation is not causation, but...
I gotta say, guys, we've talked about the Muppets before. We did the Muppets Christmas special, the 1987 ABC special. Mm-hmm. Really enjoyed it. And I think I said on that episode that, like, I feel like prior to Ryan taking me to see the Muppet movie back in the day when that came out,
the Muppet movie,
that there is a difference.
Yes.
I was always that time, I was always sort of ambivalent on the Muppets. I never watched them. I never hated them. I just never watched them. And it wasn't until Ryan took me to see the Muppets, the Jason Segel movie, that I was like, oh, this is fun. Like, I like the vibe of this. And then we saw Muppets Most Wanted. That was fun.
That was when I had some sort of bathroom thing. Remember that? That was like the story on Empire, the
what?
Podcast.
A
remember
bathroom where, thing?
You remember
couldn't
the story?
Stop
oh, yeah.
Shitting.
Some guy in the bathroom walked up into the urinal right next to you, right?
Well, I'm trying to remember what he said, but wasn't it
so
something?
So this guy, who was a very small green man, walked up to the urinal right next to mine, and it was weird.
No, I can try to remember what he said. It was something to do with, like, CGI and the Muppets or something like that. Do you remember? God, I bet, like, Nick or... remembers what it is, but I remember
vaguely,
telling the story.
You were basically just like, why are you talking to me, buddy?
So I got this girlfriend who's a pig and she's a bitch, and you're like, I didn't ask, dude. I really didn't ask.
It was almost like he wished the movie was CGI or something, or you can do anything with CGI these days. It was something weird like that about regarding the Muppets.
Oh, that's the worst opinion I've ever heard. Well, what if the Muppets were CGI?
It's funny you mention that, because there's a scene in this movie where you're like, is that CGI? Like, how did they do that?
I mean, you've got your little magic tricks, but that's why the Muppets, you know, persevere all these years, is nothing looks better than a real-life puppet being puppeteered by, like, a performer.
A bunch of real-life puppet rats dancing in a diner.
Yeah, sorry.
They're cooking.
Doing Ratatouille.
They are literally cooking.
Ratatouille came out.
Yeah, Ratatouille. Brad Bird is a
hack fraud.
He's a fraud.
Well, you were kind of hinting at the magic of the Muppets, and I think that's something I kind of discover every time I watch a new Muppets thing, because it's like, how did I never get into this? How did I miss this? And it's like, there's a charm about the Muppets.
I was just going to say, Dave, you mentioning off the show the franchise Fallout, and I was thinking, if you were to spec Muppets the way you would like a Fallout character, you know,
if they added the Muppets to the Fallout series,
if you got like a, you know, a D&D situation where you're specking out Muppets, the charm is off the charts. Like,
yeah,
the charm meter is like, they have like 20 points into charm.
Well, that's you hear so many stories about, like, especially in the early days of Sesame Street, of like the little kids interacting with you know, Kermit or any of the Muppets, and they can see, you know, Henson sitting right next to them, but they fully are like, that's Kermit right there. Kermit's talking to me. I'm hanging out with my friend Kermit. And that's, you literally cannot fake that. And that's what is so soulless about so much of media these days.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. That exact same thing happened on this movie. When you look
saw that story.
When you look at the trivia, it's just like a barrage of wholesome, uplifting
of like
stories.
A little boy didn't realize they're filming a movie. He just sees Kermit the Frog in the park. He's like, what's up? That's Kermit.
Yeah. And
I
even
know
though
him.
Jim Henson is right there puppeting Kermit, the kid apparently was talking directly to Kermit. And it led to Jim Henson just doing sort of an impromptu kind of performance for that kid, and then a bunch of other kids who walked up like, it's Kermit, you know?
Because that's the reason why any of this exists, is like, what if we made children happy? And,
yeah,
you know,
and it's like, I feel like that energy just permeates every frame of this movie, and just like, this was just a feel-good movie, you guys. I am really glad that we watched this.
What made you decide to choose this? Was this because I've always talked it up? Is that what kind of...
Is it because Jason so unsatisfyingly took Manhattan?
Oh my God.
Yes. Is that why? Is that why?
This is a response to Jason Takes Manhattan.
No,
I clocked
this,
it too.
This is how you take Manhattan.
They get the Muppets go to Manhattan within 6 minutes. I clocked it. Six
and they're
minutes. We're going
there
to Manhattan,
too.
Guys, and they're actually there.
It's not Vancouver.
It's not Vancouver. They're in Central Park. They're by the buildings.
I mean, Jason was in Manhattan for a little bit, for sure.
Jason
they did
was
do some
in Manhattan
New York
for
filming.
Like 4 whole hours.
This is a Manhattan movie, okay?
Yeah.
That Jason Takes Manhattan is a false. It's false. It's not real. It's not Manhattan.
I was waiting for them to like, all right, well, let's go to take the show to Manhattan. Let's get on a boat and
we'll spend about 1 hour 20 on the boat.
And this creepy cruise.
Well, they do that really great joke where it's them in the bus station, and it's like, oh, look at it, guys, Manhattan, and it pulls back, and it's just an ad for Manhattan.
Yeah.
Guys, the bits in this movie, they are all working. I am all for it. Like, I was dying at just the meta humor. Like, are the Muppets sort of like... they got to be some of the people on the forefront, like at the beginning of meta humor, right?
It's like tongue in cheek. Like, I feel like it's sort of like in the grand tradition of like something
shows.
That's for kids, but also for adults too.
I think there's like just the tradition of like, you know, puppetry would have been was originally obviously like a live performed kind of thing, and especially with kids or comedy involved, it's like you are breaking the fourth wall. That's kind of the point. And so once we're in the realm of like television or movies, we're still, you know, still have that history there of like, It's funny because we're puppets, right? Because you can see that we're puppets, so that's part of it. But it's also so sincerely about its own story and characters and stuff. Yeah.
Well, like, there's a really funny scene in the beginning at, and I love this, the senior variety show at their college.
Honestly, just the concept of, like, the Muppets are in college. They're seniors. They've been there for 4 years.
And just, they do their performance. It's great. Everyone loves it. And Kermit comes out and thanks everyone. He's like, thank you. We're just a frog, a pig, a bear, and
Kermit
performed by
George Lucas.
And they love.
Yeah, he does sound like George Lucas.
I'm saying you sound like.
Yeah, you're George Lucas. Your impression of George Lucas is also a very good Kermit.
Hello, I am. I'm Kermit the Frog, and I directed Star Wars.
I love that. Like
Jim Henson must be spinning in his grave. We sold the franchise to the white slavers.
Jesus.
True story.
Sorry, Jim.
I also think it's funny, just speaking of meta, I'd like to point out right now that whenever I do that Kermit impression, suddenly the timeline goes from like a loud, beefy, you know, blip, blip, blip to like a little thin.
have we broken this down before? Who's got a solid Kermit impression? Anyone? I can do Piggy any day of the week, but.
Well, the interdimensional traveler Eric is in here. I feel like he can probably do pretty good at a Kermit impression.
Like
Oh, Piggy.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I can get it sometimes. It's hard to get right into it. It's almost like a.
It's easy. I feel like an easy way to start out. You know, like the thing with like Michael Caine is like size of a tangerine or whatever. But for Kermit the Frog, I feel like you know, like
Kermit the Frog here.
Kermit the Frog here.
The Frog here.
Yeah. Kermit the Frog
there he is.
Here.
He's here. Kermit.
There's like it's almost like I don't know. It matters like what it is. Like there. There's different levels of it, kind of like how Pee-wee has different voices. Kind
True,
of,
yeah. I liked Kermit's, spoilers, I liked Kermit's amnesia/business voice.
Yeah,
like,
oh, God.
Oh, I am Kermit. I'm Summer, I'm Phil.
Philip.
Have you tried something simple like ocean breeze soap will get you clean?
Huh? Wait a minute. Wait just a second. You mean just say what the product does? Well, no one's ever tried that.
Oh. Well, it's crazy.
Oh, it's nuts. We love it.
Oh, thank you,
yes,
Phil.
If we can ever do something for you, let us know.
Mm. Well, I kind of need a job.
Phil, you've got one right here. We can always use a frog with horse sense.
Yes, welcome aboard, Phil.
You
yes.
are with us now.
Yes. There's an aspect of that scene I can't wait to talk to because it was legitimately shocking when it happened. But we'll get to that.
We saw full frontal Kermit. And yeah. They did hang down that time.
What's this? Basically the opening scene for 28 Days Later. There's no one in the hospital. It's just Kermit naked in the bed in the room.
Godspeed You Black Emperor is playing in the background.
Yeah. It did take a weird turn at that point.
Yeah, but, you know. It's kind of like
that's New York.
Like one of the reasons why I love this one so much, and like you know, it's probably my favorite Muppet movie. Even though I think the Muppet movie, the first one, is like you know, sight and sound level masterpiece, and it should be. And but like that's which is the best. It's definitely the best one, has the best songs and everything. But this one's just so funny, and I think it's. And it has, and this is the reason why I think the new ones didn't work, or for me at least, is like they are actors. They're not like the Muppets in the movies. You know, they're just
yeah.
And that's what's and I've always brought this up, and that's why that's the dynamic because everyone is well, so earnest.
Well, they are. Wait, they're not actors.
I'm not
familiar with like what they did with the new
the
Muppets.
The newer one is like. We live in a world where the Muppets are, you know, famous and you know the Muppet Show and anywhere there's that celebrity Kermit the Frog who like they work in Hollywood, but like they're Muppets.
But isn't that kind of what's going on here too?
No,
they're just not famous.
This is just, he's just a frog and a frog named Kermit and Piggy.
This is a group of college graduates
but
trying to make
But they're Muppets. Like they're,
but yeah, but they're not the Muppets.
In the universe of the movie, yeah. No one is like, oh, I don't know who Kermit the Frog is because I've seen the Muppet Show. Yeah.
No one bats an eye at them, really, as they're walking by.
Yeah.
Oh, right,
well, that's
right.
New York.
Yeah, but they're actors.
Like, well, I'm not saying like in the, couldn't, in the couldn't world
this,
of the movie.
But couldn't this theoretically, because they're like actors who at the end of this movie, spoilers, have a Broadway hit play. Couldn't the new thing be like, that's 10 years later. They're all famous now. They're the Muppets.
Well, no, because it's like it resets. Like the first movie is like kind of more of the meta kind of thing of like how they got to Hollywood and made a movie. When the second one is like they're reporters in London, you know, like it's like a, they're trying to find a diamond heist. It's a whole different thing. Like they're,
yeah, this gets back to what we were talking about on the Honor Majesty's Secret Service episode. It's like continuity. It's not exactly 100% important with the Muppets.
Sure. No, and like in the second movie, Fozzie and Kermit are brothers, twin brothers, and they're like,
yeah,
and they're like, why? They have pictures of them, and they're like, you're not brothers. Like that's the joke, you know.
So you're saying you prefer that approach as opposed to
the,
like,
it's part of the humor about it, you know. No one is like, oh wow, look at like Jason Segel's like, oh my god, it's Kermit the Frog. Like no one's doing that in any of these movies, you know. And then they're just like putting on like they're the Muppets are making a movie, them like, you know, for us kind of thing, you know, and they're like playing other characters and stuff, you know what I mean? Like outside, they're the Muppets of this movie.
Yeah, it's not like Kermit the Frog, the actor writer going into work to play Kermit the Frog, which is a job he's kind of tired of at this point.
Yeah, that's part of the humor, I think, about it, where it's just like, yeah, like these are rats. Like
it sounds like there might
those
be
are rats
like,
who work in a luncheonette.
It sounds like there might be like am I right in guessing there's some like the newer ones are a little bit more like cynical or like
well, no, it's just like they're kind of like the humor of like it's more like reverence, like there's it's more like putting on like a reverence of that's like different, you know what I mean?
I think it is also just the fact that compared to 1984, like the Muppets have existed for decades longer at this point, and so there are generations of kids who are like, yeah, I grew up watching the Muppets or Sesame Street or whatever, whereas obviously, like we said, in 1984 there were still generations of children who are like, that's my friend Kermit because I watched the Muppet Show. Yeah. But it's a different level of like having been part of the cultural osmosis kind of thing.
Yeah, it's
for
true.
So long.
It is a different time thing, but it's just like, I don't know, this is why I think this one's so funny. It's just like they're like, this movie's like at the end, like it's kind of like there's a little bit of meta kind of stuff going on. There's definitely jokes regarding that, and they kind of break it, but it's still like I don't know, something else, some other magic.
Ironically, according to the ChatDB, this is the only Muppet movie to date that has not broken the fourth wall.
No, it doesn't at all, really.
Apparently, yeah.
Well,
I'm trying to think of what it does that does that. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, I'm thinking like right away, like in Muppet Christmas Carol, there's parts where they're like talking at you, like,
sure.
Yeah, there's nothing like that.
They're literally turning to the camera and being like, and that's wacky. I'm Rizzo the Rat.
Well, it's kind of like Well, he's like narrating the,
yeah,
and there's the whole thing of like, aren't the kids going to be scared? And he's like, no, it's culture, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which I also love.
That's a good joke. Yeah, but that's kind of like the whole story's kind of built on that, you know.
Yeah,
in a way.
Oh, the narrative device of a narrator that like you can do more kind of goofs like that. Whereas again, this movie is a very sincere, like the gang, we're bright eyed right out of college and we're gonna make it big in the city. Oh, it's hard living in the city, it gets lonely here.
Yeah, and it's sort of like, you know, I mean, I guess we kind of talked about they're getting out of college and,
well, yeah, let's jump on the TriStar unicorn, jump over the logo and get into a plot synopsis, right?
Let me do it. Oh, basically,
we open with a song, as we so often do.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Kermit and the company. They were a group that had a musical that was going over really well. Like they were peaking in college, you know.
Their senior variety show, and everyone loves it.
And everyone convinces them that, and like, we should take the show on Broadway. And but, you know, Kermit's the one that's like, it's not good enough.
I need some work.
I liked that first scene where someone in the audience, this, you know, roaring, cheering audience is like, yeah, I should take it to Broadway. And Kermit's like, huh, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we could use some more Dewback lizards in the background of the stage. That would really work a lot for us.
I also really liked in that first scene, this is my first note that I made of, they, you know, there's that line of like, you guys should be on Broadway. And we cut to the other Muppets backstage, and one of them's like, hey, that's a good idea. We should be on Broadway. And then Miss Piggy says, Broadway? Like an old vaudeville performer.
And then Gonzo goes, Which city?
Which Broadway?
Which Broadway?
Fozzie Bear brings everything down by saying, like, we could just all say goodbye right now.
Yeah, come on, Fozzie.
Like, what the hell, Fozzie?
Come on. Well, even if the show was good enough, we're all just graduating. What about our future plans?
Well, this could be our future.
Yeah, that's right.
And if we don't do it, then we just say goodbye to each other.
Broadway!
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's go to Broadway!
What's crazy about that scene, I realize, is that, yeah, so Piggy, Fonzie, and Animal are all in that scene, and Frank Oz voices all of them. So
Director Frank Oz.
And so I'm sitting there, and he's directing the movie, and I'm like, how? Because it's like, it's not just a voice.
Cocaine!
Well, yeah, you know, it's
like,
nice
it's, it's like it's a performance thing. And it's like, all those, whoever's doubling, whatever, for those other puppets is doing, like, very good job. Because it's not, it's just, I was just thinking about that during this. I was like.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, it makes me think of, like, South Park or something that does this. But, like, where you're like, I know there's, like, two people voicing all of this, but they feel like different characters.
Yeah,
where
you're like, there's six characters in this scene, and I know for a fact that 1.5 people are doing these voices.
Yeah, it was, like, three in a row where it was, like, Fozzie
did
something.
You never feel like it's the same.
Yeah,
like,
no.
No.
I don't think I've told this story on the pod. Have I told you guys my Frank Oz story?
Oh, no.
So I went to a performing arts high school, and Frank Oz's nephew happened to be a teacher there. And so one day, you know, Frank Oz is like just kind of coming into town for some other reason, and his nephew is like, hey, would you say a couple words to like the theater kids here? And so he talked to the theater department and sat down with us for kind of like a Q&A for like an hour or something. He's just, you know, talking about stuff.
Did you ask him anything?
I don't know if I personally asked him anything. I don't know. He was just chill, you know, came by because his nephew was like, hey, would you do that? And he was very nice to all of us. It was really cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, this was his first movie he solo directed, because the first one would have been Dark Crystal. He co-directed with Jim Henson a couple years before this. And then we did Dark Crystal. That was one of the first episodes, wasn't it?
That was like the third episode we did. Yeah.
And I think, this is his first one. You know, he basically directed by himself. I think originally Jim was going to do it, but, you know, dude was tired. And passed it on to his old buddy Frank.
Good old Frankie. He actually, I remember for a fact when he came and talked with us, he was like talking about the Muppets and he did the Piggy voice, but he's like, sorry, I can't really do Piggy anymore. It's hard on you.
I can imagine. Yeah. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah, especially Kirby. The thing that I was like really impressed was the soft singing by Piggy at the end. Like, like
isn't
doing
nuts?
Like that high.
Well, Ryan, so the fans have suggested Broadway. Where do the Muppets go? Straight to New York?
They go straight to Broadway.
We're betcha.
And there's this whole montage of them. Well, first they walk in their first producers. They're trying to sell the show.
They almost get scammed by Dabney Coleman.
Yeah, what I like about
who's
this
gotta
is...
Who's got to be one of, like, the most prominent character actors of the 80s. He pops up everywhere.
Yeah. Was he in Creepshow?
No,
he was in Peep Show. He's in Tootsie. He's in War Games.
Nine to Five.
A bunch of movies.
Yeah, he's in tons of stuff. Yeah, he's great.
He's like character actor man.
He plays such a good scumbag boss.
Oh, yeah, he's really good at like rich scumbag.
He has to be smoking a cigar and talking down to you.
But he's definitely one of those character actors where you do the Leo gif every time you see him. You're like, that guy.
Oh, I also did the Leo gif when we saw his secretary, Dr.
Beverly
Crusher.
Her first movie.
This is her first starring performance.
And you mentioned Dark Crystal. She was a puppeteer on Dark Crystal.
She was a puppeteer?
Wow, I didn't know
that. A scientist, a puppeteer, and an actor? Wow.
She was also, I know, like, before Trek, she was like a dancer too, and like maybe
a
choreographer.
Dancer.
Yeah, she was like
she was a choreographer in Labyrinth.
Yeah,
wow.
She's a very talented performer.
The magic dance.
On Labyrinth, she was a choreographer.
She was dancing
David
the magic
Bowie?
Dance,
oh
man.
God.
Jumping the magic jump.
Imagine being that talented and also looking like that. Like, fuck.
Do you think she like
She made a dark deal with David Bowie, who is also involved in witchcraft, and they did dark machinations together.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And that's why Gates McFadden's hair is so perfect.
No,
it's because she's from the future, and they have the technology to keep your hair red forever.
To keep your hair red and fluffy and beautiful. Anyway.
Yeah. Sorry you had to be Coleman here for this, Ryan.
No, I love that.
Yeah, sorry to get all Trek all over you.
I mean, I seen her a million times, but yeah. No, I think what's interesting about this, so they're trying to sell a show about kids that go to Broadway. They want to be on Broadway. And so I think we're kind of like seeing, the musical, basically.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Thematically, we are seeing the play, if not literally.
Yeah, basically, which is cool. I never really thought about that as a kid, you know? Like,
yeah.
It was sort of like a late thing where I'm like, oh, well, this is the show that they're selling, you know,
yeah.
This scene had me going because it's one of those funny scenes where it's like, wait a minute, you want to combine song and
dance?
Yeah. I thought they were going to subvert my expectations where it's like, oh, they're going to get the show right away. It's going to be a thing. It's like, oh, wait a minute.
No, it's just a scammer.
Yeah. Wait, a bunch of unknown.
Well, perfect. Just really what I was going to accept.
Ooh, nice upholstery.
Hold it a minute. I'll get back to you.
Mr. Price, I'm Kermit, and these are my friends, and we've got a show called Manhattan Melodies that we think you're going to want to produce on Broadway.
Yeah.
It's all about a couple of kids that come to New York City to get married, and it opens with a great number. It goes like this.
Look at me, here I am, right here I am.
Hey, no singing, okay? Just give me the general idea.
Well, it's all about life in the big city.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Big city, huh? Mm-hmm. But cops, shootings, car chases, that kind of thing?
Well, no shooting stuff. It's more like songs and dances.
Mm-hmm. Songs and dances?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That might be interesting. Nobody cares about shootings anyway.
He grabs, it's pretty crazy. He grabs Camilla, the chicken, and he's, like, gonna kill her or whatever. And then Gonzo is like, no, take me!
He's like, okay!
Yeah.
Grabs him by the nose.
Because a couple of cops and a lady break in. She's like, that's the guy.
Yeah, stole my money, whatever.
Stole
you know.
My life savings! So, yeah, he takes Camilla and Gonzo hostage, and then Animal, who will not stand for this,
jumps on him. Yeah, it is funny that we have, a life-or-death hostage situation, 10 minutes into the movie.
Also, to once again speak highly of Dabney Coleman, his physical acting with three Muppets,
attached to him. Yeah.
It's so good. There's feathers flying everywhere.
I remember being scared by that animal scene, as a kid too.
Well, animal can be very scary.
Yeah.
Well, there's that moment when he's trying to get out of the room, when the guy Dabney Coleman's trying to get out of the room, and Animal's stuck at the
he's
top of the
spidered
door
up
frame,
in the doorway,
spidered up there,
This animal is pretty dark. We get
it's problematic.
We get a rough introduction.
We do get a rape joke right away. Back when they're in college, which was uncomfortable.
Him literally chasing a woman out of the theater,
a screaming woman.
literally just scream, woman, woman.
We're all so proud to be graduating now. Some with honors.
And some with the help of daily psychological counseling.
Hey, Kermit, can you stop making excuses for your friends being a predator? That said, I do love Animal. I love him so much.
Let's talk about the problem with Animal.
Yeah.
We care about Animal that we have to talk about.
I mean, I think after that opening scene, though, everything is above board.
I think everything is kosher after that, but
maybe he figured some stuff out, you know?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Kermit does do some things that are questionable. You know, I'm hugging another woman.
He gave Jenny the huggies.
You know, that's pretty rough stuff.
Okay, when he kisses Jenny on the cheek in front of Piggy out loud, I was like, oh, Kermit.
What are you doing,
Kermit? Why'd you do that? Come on.
You know what you're
you
doing.
You know what you're doing, and you Casanova. Know that Piggy's going to be upset about it. Not to say that there aren't just problems with that relationship. We can talk about that later, but
I think Jimmy,
Kermit
Jimmy
loves
Kermit
the drama.
Sparking. I think they're sparking a little.
Well, they are, but again, no, you're right. Kermit loves the drama. He lives for it. He can't have a stable, normal relationship.
No,
God.
He's with Piggy.
Well, because Piggy's in, working makeup with, Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers,
fucking
that scene
high as hell,
was incredible.
That scene, I wanted to like it, but it was giving me like Star Wars holiday special vibes.
It was unhinged, and apparently it was because the two of them were unhinged while filming it. Like, oh. Apparently, when you
Piggy
look at the
trivia, Jones,
you
don't Norton say.
Yeah, that scene just seemed like there was no script, and they were like very high.
Well, that's exactly what happened. Like, they did a few takes. Frank Oz, like, those weren't really good. So they ended up giving both of the performer Joan Rivers and whoever was doing Miss Piggy.
Well, that's Frank.
Alcohol. Oh, was it Frank?
Unless he's not. I mean, he's Miss Piggy, but
at least from the trivia, it makes it sound like Oz was directing and someone else was at least performing.
Sure,
maybe
Miss Piggy in that scene. Apparently, they gave him both alcohol. They did the take, and that's the one they used in the movie.
That checks out.
They're crazy. It's nuts. It's
unhinged.
But also, character-wise, that is what Piggy and Joan would get up. They'd get drunk and go to work and get fired.
Well, Ryan, let's go back to the synopsis. Yeah. So what happened? Yeah. So is Dabney Coleman apprehended? What's going on?
Yeah, he gets arrested, and then there's basically this kind of montage, which is that you can't take no for an answer.
It's the rejection montage.
Yeah, and I love the way that's edited and stuff with the doors closing.
What's
and
that?
Like
that's like that Mulan song, isn't it? It's like very similar.
Let's get down to business.
Yes.
Okay.
It's rocking. It's, you know, it's Dr. Teeth, you know. That's another one that I think I can do Dr. Teeth kind of thing.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Just get some more, smoke some more cigarettes.
Yeah, you got to do a couple more packs a day, and then we can all do a Muppet voices correctly.
Well,
I love during that montage too, and I kind of just love this look at like grimy 80s New York of you don't see it on featured too much anymore, but those like really like grimy, claustrophobic Manhattan offices that are just like stacked with old newspaper, like the Trump ass office. We're like, I know it smelled crazy in there.
There's like, yeah, it's funny because it does the whole thing with like the what's that? Where'd that come from? Like the whole like walking in like the black void and there's like the neon sign.
I don't
like,
know. Who's the first to do that? Was like, that like a?
I want to say that's like something from like.
Or was it Orson Welles or some shit?
Well, yeah, maybe.
Oh yeah,
like,
it's probably
a lot of, like
old,
noir.
Like, noir stuff.
Yeah, but we do. Yeah, we get that shot of Muppet feet hitting like the pavement.
That's one of my favorite shots in the movie. Just the feet just slowly walking
Kermit's
during the montage.
Little feet.
So good.
It might be. I was getting like a Saturday Night Fever vibes.
Oh,
with that
sure.
Too.
I think it's in Lost Weekend, which was a big won the Oscars,
right.
The Billy Wilder movie. I think
that
could be right. It. That's when it's like it's a guy that's basically like just like drunk this and he's like, you know, trying to
quit
it's
it.
That's such a good thing. I could put that sequence in any movie I'm in.
You're like, how do we show that they're lost
and then they realize like they're running out of money, you know, they don't have much they can, you know, like Scooter's like, I got enough for We got one more night in the lockers.
They're,
you know,
living
kind of
in lockers.
Oh yeah, which is a cute bit. I that devastating moment too, where they're like, "What are we gonna do, Kermit?" And he's, you know, shouldering all this responsibility. And he's like, "I don't know, dude. We tried and we failed, and it just my god."
And he kind of blows up on him outside the deli. He's just like, "I'm tired of supporting you guys. What the
fuck?" Well, one thing I wanted to bring this up because like every Muppet movie, at least those first few, they're always like, "We gotta try some new thing with the Muppets." So like the first movie, it's like, let's see if we can get Kermit to ride a bike, you know, or like there's
which
like
is incredible
couple other things. And this, the big one with this one was actually like shooting Muppets on location and stuff.
I was thinking about that. I was like, are they, because usually with the Muppet, like puppeteering in general, you know, they build like a platform.
You
know, you
need a very specific kind of
so,
set for that.
I was thinking that same thing when they're on the streets. I'm like, are they like laying down and like being dragged?
Yeah, they're on carts. They're like laying down on carts, basically.
Okay. Okay.
Like dolly tracks and stuff, basically.
So, of course, if you're a little kid, you know, seeing that, you're like, what's Kermit up to? He's in a little go-kart. Yeah. Awesome.
I got to salute them because, like, they're low-angle shots.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they're clearly on the street. Like, how did they get that?
Yeah, and and they look great, too.
A lot of hard work.
I watched a little old behind-the-scenes thing, and Jim's like, I always liked how they looked, like, in the sunlight and stuff. So that was our whole, like, goal in this.
Yeah,
way.
You would think, like, there's a real risk for them to, once you get into, like, real natural lighting, they all of a sudden look like, oh, that's a felt toy or whatever. Yeah. But they never look like that.
But it's like, you know that they're felt. It's like, that's never lost. But they do still just look so, like, good, especially like
they look like real living things.
Yeah, yeah. Especially I had a whole note too about like I love Miss Piggy's perm and obviously all of her outfits, but I love her wig in this one. It's so fun.
They are actually like all of Kermit and Piggy especially have a lot of good outfit changes.
Yeah, Kermit
wears a lot of good stuff.
Kermit gets to wear some fun stuff in this.
His disguises.
Yeah. Well, because
his marketing suit.
Because once we they kind of hit rock bottom of rejection and they go into the diner, we meet Jenny, the nice waitress, who is a fashion student who will hook Kermit up.
Jenny's
with
sort of
some
like our protagonist, our non-Muppet protagonist.
Like if you squint your eyes just a little bit, you're like, that's Audrey Hepburn, right?
Yeah, that or
I was thinking Jennifer Connelly. I know it would have been too.
I was thinking Rooney Mara because I just had watched a bunch of Rooney Mara.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Rooney Mara also kind of looks like Audrey Hepburn, but yeah, it's this cutie who's so nice, and Piggy is immediately burning with jealousy.
That shit is so funny because like Kermit's going up because they don't have any money and is basically asking for soup, you know, that they could have for all the friends.
Can I have some free soup?
Yeah, it's just like
we don't have any money.
Yeah, and she's like, no money at all and stuff. And I love that whole thing because it's like Zoot from the band is like what? He's like, no, it's like
there's a joke about like aliens landing. Yeah, he's like, what?
That Muppet continues to be my favorite Muppet, the saxophone player.
Oh, yeah.
He gets a great sax solo at the end of the montage.
Yeah, those Muppets are so funny because like that band is like so specifically like 60s San Francisco hippies.
Yeah.
it's such a specific.
It's like a little bit of 70s funk mixed in.
Yeah, maybe some of that going on. But like they feel like more than the other Muppets like based off real
people. Well,
because
Janis is Janis Joplin and stuff. So it's
like Kermit's like a frog. But like what are these? What are they?
Kermit
like
is
humans, I think.
Kermit is a
frog. Human Muppets.
Piggy will change with every decade for like a cool outfit or wig. But yeah, the band is like that's the band, man.
Speaking of
that's Dr. Teeth over there.
Speaking of human Muppets, not to jump ahead to the end, but this movie has the only time I've been unsettled by Muppets on screen. Human Muppets in the wedding chapel. Like the old ones and the babies.
They
looked
fucked
up. What
the
hell are those?
Yeah, those are...
Also, one of the frogs that we meet later on in the film has ears.
What?
Oh,
really? Yeah. One of them.
Agency ear.
One of the not Phil, but Dill or Jill. One of them has ears. It's creepy.
That's funny.
And I only clocked it once, but I was like, oh no, oh no.
Speaking of the ad agency frogs, I think we found the Muppet that Nick would be in this universe. He would be one of the ad agency frogs, I think.
Why?
Well, just because I guess
I imagine
a Muppet version of Nick talking about spreadsheets and formulas and economics and stuff. And
but one of them does have ears. So
and it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be.
There's like a whole thing. Like, I mean, there's a bit. What happens is like they all split up. All the Muppets basically decide to go their own way. And there's their whole song of it's a sad one when they're all.
It
leaving.
Is, yeah. Because they want to stop putting so much pressure on Kermit, and they think this is the best way to do that. But it makes him so sad.
Oh, that's saying goodbye, going farewell. Yeah, and then but the reason I want to bring that up is because Kermit starts getting friendly with old Jenny. And working at the diner. But he's a bit where he's like, I've had my 3-part plan. And the first one, if you can't beat him, join him. And then he has that whole bit he's wearing the perm. And
that might be my favorite part.
He's in his like 70s pink suit with a medallion. Yeah. And he
goes to talk to John Landis of all people. Yeah.
stay away from him,
Kermit. Yeah, this movie can't be perfect.
Kermit, yeah. Kermit, get out of that office.
Oh, hey, baby, here's my script. Why don't you check it out?
I love your office. Don't change a thing.
Yeah, I love that. So he goes to the secretary and he's like,
he's trying to bullshit.
He's like, here from the coast. He's trying to play like a LA bigwig or something. Just here from the coast. Love your office. Don't change a thing. But that's funny when it pay a good payoff when he goes in the
it's
office.
So
love the office. Don't change a thing.
Don't change a thing, hon. Anyway, Lenny.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love, like, the, it's very Kermit to have, like, when he does that, you get the good scene of him leaving the office and then, like, leaning against the wall, just like,
yes,
so anxious,
so out of breath.
That, honestly, like, that scene when he, like, does he go into the bathroom or something?
It's just he, like, shuts,
like,
the door
on
and
the
then,
other
like,
side
leans
of the door.
Up against the wall.
Yeah,
well, it reminded, when that scene happened, I started thinking of all movies, Michael Clayton, when Tilda Swinton's in the toilet stall and she's, like, sweating profusely and nervous. Like, that's the first image that came to my mind when Kermit's like,
Kermit's like talking himself down from a panic attack.
It's, yeah, there's like, you're the goddess Shiva, you're the goddess Shiva, you can get through this.
I like immediately after that scene too, when he's like gonna go meet up with Jenny in the park, and he's still wearing the outfit, but he's carrying the wig.
Oh yeah, that's probably the funniest part too. Is like, so they're sitting on a bench with Jenny, and he's talking about how he's like, oh, I think it went really well. And
you're probably gonna call me in a minute.
But there's a mysterious person that didn't leave town that's watching from across the street. Old Piggy herself,
Piggy
freaking
in
out.
Trench coat.
That's just New
hat
York.
And sunglasses. Who is so sensual and gorgeous that the
construction workers
can't help but start sexually harassing her.
And it like escalates. It's like one is like,
hey baby,
hey, hello.
Yeah. And then all the guys are like,
and then, like,
hey,
another
sexy
guy shows up and is like, what's up?
She pays them no mind because she's watching her no good man give the huggies.
This was a particular, like, and this scene I noticed, like, again, it goes without saying that the puppeteering work for the Muppets is stellar. Like, just the subtle slow movements when they're like, you know, harassing her, and she just sort of gives like a slight little head turn.
Yeah,
that's all
you, like,
need.
You can
kind of
see
so
her
much.
Like tense up, but it's
yes.
just yeah.
And then her just fully bending that rebar.
Know,
that's always a good bit when Piggy has to like bend a metal rod to like get out of there.
Yeah, and that's funny. Yeah, that and that's where you get the payoff where she's like banging this rebar against
screaming.
The building, and like and Kermit and Jenny hear this and like, what is that?
Oh,
and
that?
Jenny's just like, ah, it's just New York.
And yeah. then all the construction guys are like, oh, never mind,
okay,
sweetheart.
Back it up. We've said this before. This has kind of become a running thing with our show, but like, I really got a sense that like. And maybe this tracks back to Looney Tunes or something like that, but like it felt like Simpsons-esque humor a lot throughout this movie.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. It's still. Sure. I mean, that's I think why this movie's got funnier as I got older too.
But, yeah,
know, I think just because of it's like the Simpsons did too. You know?
Yeah.
So definitely, it's really funny, and it sort of like has a couple of these little moments and of you know, we kind of cut back to what the other guys are doing. They're writing
letters.
Yeah,
I like that. We get to see what everyone else is up to, which is, it's kind of random. Like, it's a little messy, but it's also, like, it's fun seeing what they're doing.
Everyone has, like, a shitty job in the tri-state area.
It's weird, because, like, we get to see, like, a tableau of America.
Yeah.
Like, we see, like, what's Ohio like? Oh, Ohio's, you're just in a movie theater, I guess, because
yeah,
Ohio sucks.
It's really funny, too. With
your 3D glasses.
The movie theater is fun. Like, everything going on. I love, we talked about this. I think we all like good movie theater bits in a movie.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, there's I can never remember his name. Zoo Zealand? No, it's not New Zealand. It's New Zealand with the words.
With
the
joke, yeah.
But no, he's like just the weirdest character, and he's just like, no, I don't need him. He brings the fish to like the Attack of the Fish 3D movie.
Yeah, it's like a Piranha 3D.
Also a Swedish chef cameo with the popcorn.
Yeah,
always
making
good.
The popcorn.
The popcorn. One thing that makes me cry is goes to Rolf is running a doggy daycare.
Oh my God, that was messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rolf has become like a prison guard.
He was like, I'm in management.
Yeah, and I love
how
that.
How does it feel to betray your people, Rolf?
He's a class traitor.
Well, and he even gets humiliated by that guy that drops his dog off, Snookums or Snooky or whatever.
Yeah, and he's just like sit and stay and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's like some definite serious undertones with that scene.
It's okay. All the dogs get to come to the show, and it's wonderful. That reminded me too of
it's like one step away from like a shot of like Ralph like about to put one of the dogs down.
Jesus, I was gonna shout out one of my favorite Muppets. I think it's a short. And I feel like I've even talked about this on the show before. You guys know Dog City. It was like a Rolf-centric bit, and it's like a noir about dogs, and there's like
sounds great.
There's like a mobster dog who's like a bulldog or something with it's like a trampy girlfriend, and
this is a Muppet thing.
Yeah, it's a short, and I think it's it was said it's like one of it was one of Jim Henson's favorites, and that was a beloved like VHS you know that we probably ripped from TV in my household growing up. So if there's any shitty version on YouTube,
I love
check
when
it
the
out.
Muppets do noir stuff. I'm thinking of the I think it was Sesame Street, but there it was when they did the parody of Twin Peaks.
Oh
that
yeah,
was, I love that. That's
yeah. I don't know Dog City. Wow, or
Dog City.
Wow. Dog City.
Yeah, it was on in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, there's a lot of that. What I'm trying to think. There's like the whole thing with Gonzo and he's doing his old stunt work, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Not going so well for him.
Oh, which one is
God,
it?
God, we just see him full on drag behind that boat.
I liked Fozzie Bear went to go try to hibernate. Yeah. But I love his letter. He said, "Dear Kermit, waka waka waka, but seriously."
Yeah, that was a good joke.
That was an interesting, that hibernation bit was kind of a highlight for me in this movie, because it's like, they never
like sort of gets
I
a
mean,
girlfriend.
Granted, I haven't really seen many Muppets things, but it's like I thought it was interesting that at this point they're like, "All right, well, he's a bear, so should we have him do like a bear
he
thing?"
He should do like bear stuff, right?
You know what I mean?
Next to other bear Muppets that look like bears,
more like bears.
Whereas he looks like a teddy bear.
Ryan, out of the four of us, you might be the biggest Muppet fan. Does that happen a lot where they like reference like an animal thing that they have to do since they're animals?
There's not a lot of rules with it, I guess. But yeah, there's like there are bear Muppets, and then Fozzie is one too. And I think my thinking is just the idea, and it's the same thing with the Rolf thing. There's pup Muppets that look more like dogs, and some that don't.
Yeah, and some that look like Rolf.
Yeah, and I think I don't know. These ones are just singing and dancing. You know, these ones evolved.
They have happy feet.
Look, yeah. We can argue for as long as we want about why does Goofy walk on 2 feet, but Pluto is enslaved as an animal. But the answer
is similar.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah,
what the hell is Goofy?
Yeah,
the hell is Goofy? Speaking of class traitors,
it's a whole thing. There's a whole bit too where one thing I think the other big thing they wanted to do with this was the hard scene was the rats their little song in the kitchen kind of thing.
That was so
Ratatouille
good.
Before Ratatouille.
Yeah, and that one like those are small like small Muppets aren't like can't do a ton, but these are like tiny guys.
Yeah,
and they had,
like, you can't have a hand up there. They're not sock puppet thingies.
Yeah,
like Kermit.
So there's like a lot of they like basically like every shot in that is like one designed like gag, you know, of like
that's
so
really
it's like
cool.
It's like not necessarily like they were doing a bunch of stuff. It's like every little edit is like they had to like figure out how they're going to puppet that or have like special effects make that
happen.
It's
seamless too. Like it
oh,
looks
yeah.
good.
There's like ice skating on butter on a hot griddle that you can see is hot.
That was good.
Real butter. Apparently that was real butter.
Really?
And like flipping flapjacks. I was
jumping into the coffee.
I loved
Come on
that
in.
Scene,
the wine is fine.
But when they were in the coffee, I was like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yes, it was gross.
You mentioned the flapjacks. Reading in the trivia, that apparently that was real too because they were like stressing about it. Like, how do we get this to look right? And they're like, oh, let's just use real butter.
We just gotta use real shit and hope that we don't get too much, like butter or batter on the Muppets.
There's a whole that whole thing too because Brooke Shields shows up at the diner.
Brooke Shields as Brooke Shields.
Yeah, basically one of the rats asks if it's into interspecies relationships. Is that what he says?
Yeah.
Which I don't know. That's funny.
Wild.
It's crazy.
Is something wrong?
Do you believe in interspecies dating?
Well, I've gone out with some rats before, if that's what you mean.
It's just, you know, the Muppets have the woke mind virus. They're trying to teach us that, like, marriage relationships can just be anything nowadays. Right.
This is what the liberals want.
This should be
the future the liberals want.
Heterosexual frog and pig.
Well, what does she say? He's like, well, I've dated
some rats before, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, that's a good line. I love
it. He starts like, oh.
One of my favorite, bits with Muppets is when people get saucy with the Muppets.
Yeah. There's some crazy the cameos. It's funny because it's like a lot of them, you know, they kind of go over your head a little bit because maybe like 70 stars. But like Elliot Gould is a cop for like one line.
He shows up like and second. I was like,
did you see the Elliot Gould? We also, of course, have Liza Minnelli is my favorite.
Oh, great moment.
Did you see like what happened though with like that there were supposed to be like a lot more people, a lot more like big names and like what, why they all backed
out? Happened? They said, oh, John Landis? No.
No.
You're letting Landis do a cameo? Fuck that.
So I'm trying to think how to say this. So, okay. Dustin Hoffman was going to be in it and he was going to play like a parody of the Robert Evans, the producer for The Godfather. I think he's in that show they did The Godfather. But he backed out at like the last minute because he thought the performance would be considered like, he's like, I don't want to offend my good friend, producer of The Godfather, sure. Robert Evans. Oh, but because weird. Dustin Hoffman backed out, all the other, it like was a cascade of people who backed out.
Oh, wow.
But here's what who originally was going to be in the movie before that happened. Dustin Hoffman, Steve Martin, Michael Jackson, Lily Tomlin, Richard Pryor, Laurence Olivier.
Who most of which Bullshit. Were in like the Muppet movie,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah, Steve yeah. Those names all make sense. Yeah. Like you see why that those would all be there.
All
I think,
because Hoffman was too fucking cowardly to say boo to a producer.
So there was probably nice some move. Like scrambling behind the scenes to get some cameos done, and maybe that is why there's some scenes like the Joan Rivers scene, which are like, what are we?
Well, Joan Rivers was huge though. Too,
yeah.
No, so. No, I know, but like that the scene. I mean, like it's sort of like that didn't seem like a planned.
Oh,
they
yeah.
planned that for a long time. You know what I mean? Like, that seems like, oh, maybe we had a different scene going on with Lily Tomlin or something, but like, we
yeah,
let's do something
know.
With Joan
they,
Rivers.
They kind of like, I mean, I think it's funny, and I bet it, maybe that had something to do with like, you know, someone's agent heard that Dustin Hoffman's not doing anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine like the calls of like,
well,
Martin's
funny
out,
that happened
Jackson's
that
out.
Way. Because we get a scene in this movie that's kind of similar where they're like, all right, we got to step two, my 3-step plan. We got to start the whisper campaign, you know, like, oh,
yeah.
What's that whisper? It's that producer. Oh, producer.
Also a great producer. Kermit outfit with the big old coat where he's sneaking all the rats in and his little mustache.
And again, like the
he looks like, what's his name? God, what's the actor? Is that Gregory?
Oh, Vincent
Gregory
Price.
Hines. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I was thinking of Errol Flynn.
I think
were you talking about the Gregory Hines cameo?
No, what's right? No, fucking Gone with the Wind's actor. What the heck?
Is it Clark Gable or Cary Grant?
Clark Gable. Yes.
I think he looks like Clark Gable. I think
a little bit.
Yeah. Well, as I say, like,
I think you mean Brad Pitt in Babylon.
Yeah, yeah.
The comedic timing of these movies is so great. Like they know how long to hold a pause for comedic effect. Like when he swaps Liza Minnelli's photo and puts his own up, and when everyone turns and the camera just shows like the picture and then slowly pans down for a perfect amount of time to reveal him sitting right under his picture, like, oh, hello.
Good evening. Keep eating.
Don't get up.
I love too that they like they got like a photograph of him taken and printed
it's
it out
so
and
good.
Put in a frame.
Yes.
And Liza comes up and is upset that her picture was
and sees that her
what I do?
Did I do something wrong?
A frog. Really? A frog.
A frog?
But to like talk further in the cameos, like, yeah, like I really enjoyed the Gregory Hines cameo where he's a jogger in the park. And just I like that. I like the interaction. Again, this really made me laugh where he keeps going back and forth. He keeps
he's like the
sides.
Third party in the argument.
Yeah, he
yeah.
keeps. Yeah.
He's like, wait, are you two-timing her, buddy? You know,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, he had to do it to put on the show. What show?
Oh, well, he had the show.
I,
and he
I
keeps
also,
going back and forth.
Great scene leading up to that where Piggy gets her perch snatched in Central Park. So she takes Gregory Hines' roller skates and then chases down the mugger. And every so often we'll see kind of in the background the like Miss Piggy roller skate stunt double of just like tearing ass.
I love that.
In like a Miss Piggy head with the wig and everything. It's so good.
Yeah, this is most of the second act of the movie, like Kermit working at the deli and trying to put some stuff together. Meanwhile, like Piggy is just like, you know, stalking him basically.
She is.
Yeah.
Never said it was healthy.
And then, you know, he's there with Jenny jogging, you know, trying to get, you know, Feel better.
feel a little better, Jenny, who is Jenny's nothing but nice.
Jenny is ready.
Oh, she's ready.
Yeah.
She's pretty, and she keeps like embracing him, you know, and hugging him and this and that. And it's just like, yeah.
But again, he's the one kissing her on the cheek in front of his girlfriend. So like, what is she supposed to think? That said, she is nothing but nice to Piggy. So
she is. She's respectful, I think, of Piggy.
Very, very respectful.
It is really funny, the whole thing. Like, she says something like, what about your pig friend or something like that? Which is like, like she's questioning it. She's like, your pig friend too?
Friend?
We didn't mention it, but Jenny, who works at the deli, is also an aspiring fashion designer. Mm-hmm. And she's the one that is providing Kermit with these disguises, which are so good.
Yeah.
She's working her ass off.
But they finally do get together again, you know, Kermit and the... And then there's this is probably the most random thing, but I loved it as a kid, and it's also a backdoor pilot, is the first appearance of the Muppet Babies.
When they're talking before.
It's just like, what if we were met as babies?
Yeah.
As Muppet Babies.
As Muppet Babies?
Babies?
Is that a thing?
It is very cute, and it's a cute little song about how Piggy's going to do all these things when she grows up.
It is. It's cute, and it's impressive with the small puppets, and it's funny because the whole show, the cartoon that came out a couple years later, is like the same costumes, the same, like, you know, the whole thing with like the rocking chick,
it was totally like an intentional, like,
it is.
Or like, you guys like when they're babies?
Or it's like,
are you into that?
Yeah, it's kind of random, but it's fun.
What's the Back to the Future line when he's playing the guitar?
Like, oh, yeah, you guys aren't crazy about that, but your kids will.
Your kids are going to love it.
Yeah. It's
you're not ready for Muppet Babies? Well, your babies in a few years are going to love them.
This is around a point in the movie where they meet Ronnie, right? The aspiring producer.
Oh, yeah. He's
the producer who finally gives him a chance.
I love that we never see the dad.
No, we see him.
Do we?
We see him. It's Art Carney. Yeah.
He comes in. He's like, what are you doing? And he's like, Dad, I got great news.
He's not for it at first, but then Kermit's there, and they eventually convince him.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. Never mind. Cut that out, Dave. Cut that out.
No, it's funny because I'm leaving that in.
But
he's in the beginning of the movie in the montage. You see him like sticking his head through, like,
wow,
like they're shutting the door.
That's
and
a good bit.
It's like only that one little bit. Like he's like kind of like it's set up like kind of like,
yeah,
really, like really Christopher Nolan shit.
Yeah.
But his son is like, no, I see it. I see the vision. And
Dad, I'm telling you, people like song and dance together.
Songs and dances.
No shootings though.
The shootings. We didn't even mention the shootings. No shootings.
No one cares about shootings.
No one cares about shootings. Whoa.
Yeah, line hits differently.
Ouchie. But then right on the eve of this success, by the way, the show opens in 2 weeks. Yeah. Kermit and I, right when it happened, I was like, how did I forget that this is what leads to like the climax of the film, but Kermit gets hit by a taxi.
Oh, God. This is wild.
And this is him like in cloud nine because he's like, oh, great, finally, we got to get everyone together. That we got the show. This is perfect.
There's him on the phone. That's used with the whole with that meme with freaking Christian Bale. You know him yelling on the phone. We're gonna be on Broadway.
I gotta say, the shot of Kermit lying, looking like he's dead in the street.
Crumpled on the street.
As the camera pulls up.
Yeah.
And people like try to come towards him to see if he's okay.
Yeah, he's like sprawled out.
That was genuinely upsetting.
Looks like he has like broken, twisted
body. I remember being upset by that as a child.
It's like, it's very much like you imagine like the next scene is like, you're never going to walk again, Kermit.
No, well, we just has amnesia.
We mentioned 28 days later. Like, it's basically that scene. He's in the hospital bed.
You could totally, like, him hit by the car and cut to, like, Godspeed You Black Emperor music. He's waking up in the hospital.
Doctor?
Oh, hello?
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 Yeah, it's nuts.
It reminded me, honestly, when we see him lifeless in the street, it reminded me of seeing the white, dead, crusty body of E.T. like in that canal.
Oh, God.
You remember that? It's like a moment where you're like, I was not expecting that, and now I am upset.
It's like, once again, the magic of it all. You know that this is a lifeless puppet, but it's not the same. That's my close personal friend, Kermit.
Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog. He's hurt. Someone help him.
And we're waiting for him to come back, and he's not. It is a harrowing little thing, I would say.
Yeah, they get the gang back together, but then they're out looking for him, but they can't find him.
And this is maybe the only time I think amnesia is used well, or one of the few times amnesia is used well as a story device, because it's like at the worst possible time, the guy who's responsible for it all,
the writer
and director and lead actor of the show, now has amnesia. And it was honestly, to me, who has never seen this movie before and is really getting invested in the characters and the magic of it all, it was like a gut punch. He's like, God, he has amnesia now. And now he's working at Mad Men? No.
Yeah, he gets a job at Mad Men.
Well, isn't it
Mad Avenue Avenue.
Mad Avenue Agency. Yeah. Mad Avenue Advertising.
Ocean Breeze.
And this kind of leads me, what if we just said what the product does? Ocean Breeze makes you clean.
I've never done that before.
And within like a few days, Kermit is like a successful ad.
A top executive.
I do.
At a Manhattan ad agency.
But before we get to the ad agency and we're still in the hospital, it's a really funny bit. I always love this kind of thing with like puppets or whatever, legs. Where she's like, all right, time to check your reactions. And, she hits a puppet leg and it doesn't move. And she's like, twisting his arm around. She's like, okay, you're great.
God. Yeah.
When he's like,
this is a whole thing of like, it like happens so much later. And then like the other leg does it when she hits it.
Flicks.
A little slow. And then at the
slow
end of it, she's
confused.
Like, well, you have amnesia, but we tried to figure out your identity and we couldn't. So I guess you just got to like, I don't know, start a new life.
She says, your case is hopeless.
So go start a new life.
This is a bit, she does like the leg test. She tests his responses and she says like, yep. Definitely amnesia.
Definitely amnesia. It's such a good scene.
Yeah, it's so good. But this ad agency bit and the amnesia, like it gets to a bit where what I mentioned earlier, something that I really found upsetting for a different reason, and it was shocking. So they just had a long day of selling stuff. They just came up with the great Coke ad. It wasn't Don Draper. It was Kermit the Frog, actually. Or excuse me, Philip Phillipson or whatever.
It was Phil Phillip.
Phil Phillips.
Phil?
And they, like, what if they, Phillip. It's like, hey, you wanna, what's eating this deli? And they go in the deli and it's, we've just had that scene when everyone's all downtrodden, like, oh, we can't find Kermit. And they end up sitting in the booth right next to them. And it leads to the scene where it's funny, right before a scene that's truly shocking to me, we get a scene that's like, that honestly made me tear up. Yeah. When the waiter delivers the glasses of water and Kermit takes he starts tinging the glass like ding ding, and he starts doing the Together at Last or Together Again song, whatever.
Yeah.
And
that's
it's all them. Like I was teary-eyed.
Yeah.
But then within seconds it pivots because Piggy's trying to like get to him, like, you are Kermit the Frog. We are Kermit the Frog. And this is the point of the movie that was truly shocking to me, because at this moment, Kermit, who does not know he's Kermit, says,
in love with a pig? Oh, wait till I tell the guys in marketing. Hi, maybe you expect me to go hog wild? Maybe perhaps you could bring home the bacon, huh? Oh, the sounds of love. Sweet. Oink, oink.
Cancel the show!
Kermit's heel turn.
I also had a note of that because I, again, remember being a child and getting that scene. And I was like, he's being so cruel.
It has the vibe that he's like,
yes, he was so cruel. Like, what would that even look like? Like, oh.
Yeah, and he starts like saying like pig things in a way. It has the vibe of like a really slurs. Like racist rage where he's like slurs or something.
So that's after they kidnap him back to the theater for opening night.
You could bring home the bacon.
And Piggy smacks him a good one. Yeah. Yeah. Cancel the show.
He's flying, and then it jogs his memory.
And it undoes his amnesia.
I thought they went, like, when he goes, suey, suey, I was like, whoa, they really went there.
It is, I was heartbroken watching that as a child, and I was heartbroken today.
Because it has, like, a more adult tinge to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How could I ever love you? And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, right? That fucking
And it gets into,
New York
it gets into that interspecies stuff we were talking about earlier. And he's basically addressing sex.
Well, you don't know like what other toxic like ad agency stuff he's doing in these 2 weeks. Like, we're not seeing the cocktail lunches,
Philip?
The home he's going home to, the broken, he's probably, there's some wife
he actually
that he's like
did
estranged
get married
from
during that time. And
he's doing the full Don Draper.
And she, yeah.
I,
He's drinking.
More like Patrick Bateman.
He's killing people at night.
This is my business card.
Yeah. It's
Phil
it's
Phillips.
Phil Phillips. Yeah.
I imagine Kermit, like Phillip walking around, going into buildings.
He's
and
like
just,
slapping
like,
secretaries' asses,
randomly
like
shooting, you know, like doormen and stuff, and trying to put like a cat Muppet into an ATM, you know.
Product of your environment, you know.
Feed me a Muppet.
Yeah. What
oh.
kind of what kind of freaks are Jill and Gil and Bill that the other frogs are with? They're probably like, yeah, we work for Dow Chemical and
now, I'm just now picturing an American Psycho parody from the Muppets where they're just reenacting those scenes, but it's Muppets.
So frogs.
Like imagine, so everyone talks about, oh, how did they get the Muppet to ride the bike? That's crazy. Imagine the same scene, only it's like Kermit running down a hallway with a chainsaw going.
That would be impressive. That would be impressive.
Well, there was that whole thing.
They have to build like a tiny functional chainsaw for him.
That's like old, like, you know, 15 years ago memes of Kermit and Christian Bale, like the whole, you know, them kind of look alike, that they kind of look the same.
Yeah, they've got that nod.
La-dee-da-dee-da.
They both have the same mouth, Kermit and yeah. Christian Bale. But no, yeah, that is intense. I always forget it gets to that point. Like it's very like melodramatic, you know, kind of
yeah.
like vibes, you know. I mean, it's very soap opery with getting amnesia, you know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But it's, well, and then he's thankfully cured right before they're
the
about
show.
To go on for
Somebody's
the show.
Somebody's getting married.
Because it's a show about a couple crazy kids coming to the city and getting married.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a whole thing. I remember loving that the Sesame Street gang was there. That was like a
you gotta
like
invite
Avengers
your old friends from the street.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember I said this on the when we talked about the Muppet Christmas special, and that when the Sesame Street characters popped up, like to me that was as big a crossover as the Avengers
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
And like somehow again, I think I was just so swept up in the story and the characters and the magic, I wasn't expecting Sesame Street to show up, and when they did, I was like, ah,
that's Big Bird.
That's Big Bird.
They did it.
I wanted like Bird and Ernie to lean over to each other and be like, "So Piggy and Kermit, huh? I really didn't think they were gonna. Well, hey, good for them. Good for them. Yeah.
I thought you were gonna do a move of like, well, they did it.
Hey,
yeah, they. Yeah, that's what I thought you were
waiting.
Do too.
I've been waiting long enough.
Fox ticking.
I also love this. Is another great comedy bit that you see a lot in cartoons and like parody stuff in general. I love instant costume changes. Like someone will walk through a door and suddenly they're in a different costume.
It's always good.
It's always comedy gold.
Yeah, it has like a very kind of sweet sort of not very you know played straight sort of end to it, like an end of an old. Play or some old music.
Yeah, and yeah. ends with a wedding. Yeah, classic.
They get married and then it's like literally credits.
It's just over. Yeah, it just goes to the stars. It's like not even like a like jokey at in the last like 5 minutes of the movie. You know, just like
no, it's
straight.
We're yeah. actually tying the knot.
And this is like the one time, like it's kind of funny. This got me thinking of like other movies that end with like a big wedding and it's a big deal. And weirdly, like when I watch movies like that, I never find that I'm truly invested in the wedding usually. This time, however, was an exception. I was like, oh, this is a big deal.
Yeah, you're saying, you always cry at weddings.
They're getting wet, man. Finally, after all the, like, a decade or more, they're getting married.
They can stop living in sin.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's cool. It's, it's funny because you never even, like, see if the play was a success or anything like that.
No,
just
yeah.
Sort of,
you
yeah.
just know.
And it doesn't, there's not a lot of, I don't think it really cuts to the audience much at all during the play, right?
No, I don't think it does. I think
we're just kind of focused on the stage.
Yeah,
it's just
basic. That's just what happens is now the movie and the Broadway show are kind of like morphing merge. Together into a thing.
Yeah.
It's like almost like we just watched the whole play basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're seeing the triumphant end.
Yeah. It's kind of weird and, I don't know, abstract's not the word, but sort of just like this sort of weird kind of morph that happens. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. And then the movie ends, and you get a great The End.
Yeah,
and
that's a good, that's a very classy The End we get.
Yeah, I love the way the credits just, you know, you just have that superimposed image of New York at the bottom, and the credits are kind of coming up behind it, you know? Really well done.
The credits in the beginning are great, too, of just the...
Oh!
The...
There's nothing more soothing than hearing Kermit the Frog gently croon.
Yeah.
You know, at the beginning of the movie, I was like, oh, this is great.
He's gently scatting.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we get this is Jim Henson Kermit, yeah. Like prime Kermit.
Yeah, prime. Yeah, because he died in, I think, 90 or 91. So.
I feel like most of the Kermit the majority of Kermit I've seen and heard is probably not Jim Henson. Just because there's probably at this point more of it than there was Jim Henson.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, there was Steve Whitmire for all the 90s and until he got fired, like, 5 years
ago. Oh, yeah. Did that guy just melt down at work, basically?
I think so.
Like,
I think the thing is, there's always been this tension in the last, like, 15 years with Disney and the Muppets and how they're treated. And that's why, like, Frank Oz doesn't do anymore or anything like that. And I think it's a lot to do with, like, the company is, like, oh, you guys are just voices. They can be replaced. But really, like, these are guys that, like, created these characters. Like, they're not necessarily, like a lot of them are in the characters. Like, Kermit is Jim Henson, like, straight up.
Oh, yeah. Like, so, I mean, Jim, like, this movie is very much, like, feels like it could be about Jim Henson and the Muppets. Like, Jim Henson, he is the leader of this troop, and like, you know, why does it have to be all me? You know,
like putting pressure, and even like realizes, like, oh, I'm sorry, like, then that whole thing, he even says, like, oh, I'm sorry, I blew up out there, just, you know, a lot of pressure kind of thing. And I'm sure that happened, you know, and
yeah.
Well, when you look at I was looking into Chad DB, apparently this movie could be seen as like a big parallel to Jim Henson's career. Like, he has like a good fall, like a great opening thing with the Muppets as a kid. He tries to take it to New York. It doesn't really go anywhere. He gets a job at an ad agency, and then eventually he gets big with the thing
that
he created.
It was like that was the Muppets were first. So selling coffee, and Grolf was selling
dog food
and stuff. It was all kind of ad stuff until eventually it kind of, like, you know, got to the point where he could do his own.
I remember back in the before times, I think it was like at the MoMA in New York that I saw like a Jim Henson exhibit. I think, Ryan, maybe you saw the same thing. Like, it was like a traveling thing or something.
Yeah, Seattle, I think.
But they had like a lot of the ad agency stuff there, and it was really cool. Yeah.
Maybe, Ryan, maybe you can fill in the blanks here. Jim Henson kind of strikes me as a Mr. Rogers type person. Is that the case?
He's more like more grit, I think, on him. I think Jim Henson would like have a blow up and yell at people in the way that I don't know if Mr. Rogers would ever do that.
Well, but okay, to that point, I think there's a similar thing of like someone who like an artist who really does care about like making quality entertainment for children
because they
respect children.
Some overlap in the Venn diagram,
but there is also this kind of element. I didn't see any of the like what was the Tom Hanks one, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood from, or like, Welcome to the Neighborhood, something like,
the neighborhood,
yeah.
Think, something like that.
Yeah. And that kind of gets into what I've heard of is a similar thing with Jim Henson and his children at the time, where it was a kind of like, so if you want to be part of your dad's life, you're kind of going to have to get into this too, whether or not you like that. And, you know, for wonderful people, complicated people, as it goes.
I mean, from what I gather, and I've been meaning to, I have not a biography of his, and I remember starting listening to it, but I never finished it. But it's, it sounds like, you know, he's one of those guys that loved having control, you know, but then he definitely, like, gained partners that he could trust and stuff like that. And it was like a troop. It was like a very much, like, he got... And people loved him. Like, it was like one of those things, like, no one has anything bad to ever say about him, because they were almost like he was their leader in a way that they liked, and they liked, like, they and they also like respected him, and also like it never felt like he was wrong in a weird way. Like, I don't know. And then, and the thing is, I don't think he played down the kids. Like, that's the thing he knew, realized.
Oh, definitely.
He was like,
And
it was,
that might be a similarity between the two.
I think that's the biggest thing, is because, like, Mr. Rogers, I saw this whole kind of breakdown of his philosophy, him talking about, like, how to explain things to children in a way that isn't just, like, you know, talking down to them or treating them like they're stupid. It's just like, no, you can give them real information. You can also just be fun and, like, you know, have fun with them and make them laugh. And that's a good thing. Those are all good things.
Yeah. And I think just that, like, they want to make each other laugh. And I think, like, they realized, like, the Muppet Show, like, you know, every age was watching it, basically.
Yeah.
And that's what was great about those is that.
Well, I got the sense that, like, that's why so many A-list actors flocked to that show and wanted to be in cameos, because it's one of those things that just appeals to everyone.
Yeah. And also, like, you know, variety shows were such a big thing, and this was taking the piss out of it. You know, it was like the last one of, like, you know, this is.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's something special. And this is like, this is probably the, I mean, I love Christmas Carol, but like, this is like, I would say the last of like the true Muppet movies, you know, of like the Jim Henson era, you know,
the original team.
Yeah. The original. Yeah. Guys,
the old cheese.
But like, what's nuts is like, I think it's, you see, it's Golez. I think David Golez, he's the guy that created Gonzo, or and he's still around, like, and does Gonzo and stuff. He's Gonzo and Rizzo and stuff. And it's like, he's like the only one left of the whole crew. Like, because Richard Hunt died, he's was a big part of it, and Jerry Nelson, but yeah, Frank is not part of it really. So it's interesting.
Frank's got to be pretty old at this point, anyway.
He's not like, young.
How old is he? He's 79. I mean, yeah, I would hope he's just.
He hasn't been part of it for a long time, though. You know.
Oh, okay.
So it's just like. Man.
That's wild how young Jim Henson died too. I just double checking. He was 53 when he died. Yes.
Yeah. It's interesting because, like, yeah, this was what, 80, was it 83, this movie?
84.
84.
So yeah, he died like less than 10 years later, you know. And it's and there's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of shows and things. And one of the last big things was for Disney World was the Muppets 3D show, which is really great. And you can watch it on YouTube. It's not as good because it's not in 3D, but that was one of the last things Jim.
There's no one throwing fish at the screen.
I think there's that bit and stuff, but it's.
It better be.
Yeah. Muppet Vision 3D. I think it's still around in Florida. It's not in California anymore, but it's an amazing thing. It's one of the last things Jim worked on, but yeah, it's good. I love this movie. It's, like I said, I think Muppet movie is still the best one. But this one is probably one of my favorites, just because like the bits get funnier as I get older and stuff.
Yeah, and again, just the technical wizardry. Like anytime you see, like I love those shots of like the of maybe like Kermit like looking up at a skyscraper. Like the framing of the shots is so perfect.
He goes up to the Empire State Building. Did you think he's gonna jump off?
Literally, yes. Michael and I were like, Kermit, yes. No!
Don't jump.
Obvious scene where like someone has to talk him down.
Yeah.
There's like a friendly old lady or something. It's like, don't do that, sweetheart.
Stay back. I have nothing to live for.
No, Kermit, don't kill yourself. You're so sexy.
I'll fucking do it.
But yeah, this movie, I want to check out the Muppet movie. I haven't seen it yet. I'm kind of glad that I haven't, because it's like now I get to discover these things and like I can appreciate both levels, like the more adult stuff and the kids stuff. You know what I mean? Like I get it all at once and it's all like this great feast that I have, you know.
Yeah.
it's kind of perfect.
Yeah.
It's also just I think as we kind of were talking about earlier, like it's one of those just like very sincere projects that like you can't be like a cynical jerk about it, because like what are we doing here? Like they're Muppets, yeah, they're taking Manhattan, yeah. What else do you want?
That's, yeah, you're right. We were trying to see if there's what other Take Manhattans are there, and there's not. I always thought it was like there was a million of them, but there's not really. There's Jason and the Muppets.
It's Jason and that's the Muppets.
You know, Jackie, you kind of know. As we're wrapping up, I think you just nailed on something. Why I really like the Muppets so much. Watching these, like, I think as I get older, I think I definitely, and I'm sure you guys could attest to this, but I have become way more cynical the older I get. And it's always a joy when something like this comes along that completely just brushes that cynicism away. Like,
you're like, this, sorry, this was made with love.
Yeah, like this and stuff like Paddington are just like things that I grasp onto. Like, oh yes, get me out of this cynicism.
Totally.
Rut. You know what I mean? Like, and it always feels so good. And yeah, this is. I'm really glad we watched this. This is a nice. Nice little diversion from Suburban Commandos and what's its so,
and it's Lawnmower Men
and Lawnmower Men. Yeah,
it's crazy that like, I mean, it's just weird because this one's kind of outside the Disney vibe and it just came out with like a 4K and stuff like that, and so
looks like, gorgeous. By
looks
the way.
Good, man.
It's like a,
sounds
it,
great.
It's just weird. It's like weird that why this one isn't in much rotation compared to the other ones, I guess, because the other ones aren't. Are all Disney. I don't know why this one's not.
Sure.
Maybe it's just because this one has too many sexual references and stuff, maybe.
It's literally the mouse versus the unicorn. The unicorn got a great one, man. The TriStar unicorn. which we didn't really mention. Like, I love that logo. The TriStar logo.
Yeah, that thing is, you know? That thing always is in a weird way unsettles me in a good way. I don't know why. It's like that TriStar logo. I think it's just because it's like dark and it's like it's very glossy or whatever, or like foggy, you know?
Like, you don't know quite what to make out of it at first. Like, what's happening? And you
much
see
like a unicorn, it makes you feel uneasy, but in a good way.
Yeah.
Wow, TriStar put out Look Who's Talking.
Classic.
Well, any and Total Recall, too, my favorite movie of all time. Well, any other closing thoughts on Muppets Take Manhattan?
People's is people's.
People's is people's.
People's is people. And tomatoes or potatoes, whatever he says.
The city is potatoes and...
Oh, we should... I wanted to point out, did anyone else have this thought that the character of Ronnie, the would-be producer, he reminded me a lot of Griffin Newman.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's got a Griffin Newman vibe.
I can see that.
I was like, oh, Griffin could totally play this character in a reboot.
Yeah, that's a good one. He does. He does have that
That's
vibe.
Funny.
Yeah, it's great. I'm trying to think if there's any other good little things. I didn't write down any lines because I've seen it so many times, but it's a good one. I highly recommend it, even for a non-Muppet head.
Even for non-Muppets, you can enjoy this Muppet movie. Yeah. You don't have to be a Muppet to watch it.
Yeah, it's good.
Well,
so I'm guessing recommends across the board?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a tropey movie on purpose, and it's great, you know?
Yeah.
If you're 2 or 200, this is the movie for you.
2 or 200.
For sure.
Yeah, it's like, it's purposefully like this kind of like old school tale, you know, making it in a big city, but it's fun. It's like the Muppets version of that, and it's good shit.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, folks. Looks like I'm getting the end cry on is coming up behind us. It's
so beautiful, though.
Out of frame, so we better wrap the things up.
So shiny.
thanks for listening, folks. Check us out on the Twitter. Oh, well, like the X's. Check us out on the X's, the Apple Podcasts. You'll notice I didn't say iTunes. I finally got it right and said Apple Podcasts.
I still call it iTunes.
So ooh, throwback iTunes.
Old timers.
Yeah.
Check us out, give us a 5-star rating or even a 1-star rating and leave a hate-filled review. I'd love to read it. I'm sure it'd be great.
I hate the Muppets. They're too
you
woke.
Once mentioned Fraggle Rock. What the hell? I'll throw like a decent Muppet thing in the last like few years. The Muppets Haunted Mansion is not bad.
That was
a recent thing. It's not the greatest, but that's probably my recommendation for anything in the last 20 years with the Muppets.
I like Muppet Treasure Island.
Yeah,
that's before 20 years ago.
That was pretty recent, right, guys?
It's only like a 35-year-old movie.
Tim Curry, come on.
He is great, yeah.
That was a good film.
That's fun.
Well, so long. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Going for what? Can't really
say
do it.
Goodbye.
What is the... I wish I could do a Gonzo.
Gonzo's a harder one. Gonzo's a little more subtle.
Let's end on that.
Gonzo turned into a pervert.
Out of Ryan going, so long, goodbye.
Why is it sad? I can't do it.
It's like halfway to Marge Simpson.
Yeah, I know. It is very Marge.
Homie.
Oh, come out. Oh, no,
Kermie.
I can't do it.
Saying goodbye.
No need remembering when. Cause no feeling feels like that feeling. Together again. Together again. Gee, it's good to be together again. I just can't imagine that you've ever been gone. It's not starting over, it's just going on. Together again. Now we're here and there's no need remembering when. Cause no feeling feels like that feeling. Together up, together up, together up. Together again. Together again.
Mark.